Could you explain what the current laws are surrounding sexual consent in New South Wales?
Well, we have a definition of consent in our Crimes Act. So the prosecution has to prove beyond reasonable doubt that someone did not freely and voluntarily agree to sexual intercourse, if that's what's been alleged. But in addition to that, so it's a good definition, but in addition, it's not that simple. The prosecution also has to prove that the defendant did not have a belief on reasonable grounds. So this knowledge requirement was the difficulty in the Lazarus trial. Judge Tupman, in the second trial that Lazarus went through, decided that he did have a belief in consent, and it was based on reasonable grounds. And that was the controversial part of her decision, if you like.
Right. And when was the last time that New South Wales sexual consent laws were reformed or updated?
2007, and that was after a year-long task force which examined the existing state of the law then. And back in 2010, the Australian Law Reform Commission looked at all sexual assault laws around Australia and didn't really recommend any major changes. The problem that there is that the law doesn't give fact finders, judges, whether the judge is the fact finder or juries, the law doesn't give them sufficient guidance about what this thing reasonable grounds looks like in the context of a particular case. And it's a very hard concept to grapple with. What is reasonable to you or me may not be reasonable to someone else, do you see?
Yeah, I kind of understand. And yesterday, New South Wales Attorney General Mark Speakman referred the state's sexual consent laws to the Law Reform Commission. What implications will this have for our laws in New South Wales?
Well, probably not a great deal. I can't imagine there will be major changes. What I imagine will happen is that the presently existing laws will be refined in some way. It very much depends on what the New South Wales Law Reform Commissioners decide, but there'll be a number of people putting in submissions around this issue of reasonableness. How do you get a jury to look at the circumstances much more closely and take account of what really happened? And also, there's one thing that Judge Tupman failed to do was that she failed to examine what steps Lazarus himself had taken to decide whether Saxon had consented. So, how do we get judges and juries to actually apply the law in a way that's culturally appropriate today? Not culturally appropriate for 50 or 100 years ago, but culturally appropriate today.
Now, if you just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Annie Cozens, Professor of Law and Criminology at UNSW, about whether reforms are needed for current sexual consent laws. Now, Annie, what is the risk that the Attorney General's referral of these laws to the Law Reform Commission could potentially be just seen as a knee-jerk reaction, and that real change will come about much more slowly?
Well, yes, I suppose it could be seen as a knee-jerk reaction. Remember, the Law Reform Commission only has the power to recommend certain changes, and it will be ultimately up to this government to put in place those changes. That's really where we will see the government's commitment to real change. So I hope that the Law Reform Commission makes some changes that are, practical and give good guidance to future juries, but it's really up to this Attorney General and the government as a whole to make a decision to enact those changes.
Right, well, hopefully there can be some changes, but law is the only one part of changing how we understand sexual consent.
Mm.
How can we improve education for young people regarding sexual consent, and what should that look like in their relationships?
Well, that's a very difficult question. You know, everyone says education, but at what level do we start it in primary school? How do we presently inform people about sexual consent in high school? The problem with educating young people about these things is that kind of education is in direct contrast and conflict with the amount of pornography that people can access anytime online. And a lot of that online content is violent, coercive, humiliating, and it shows women apparently consenting or assenting to sexual acts that are completely inconsistent with this notion of autonomy that we want women to have. We want women and men to be able to say yes or no, yes, I want to do this, or no, I don't, and for that no to have meaning. But I think it's a real problem for our society, to be honest. I don't know how we counteract the effects of pornography. I think that's something that young people have to really grapple with and come to terms with themselves.
Right, well, it kind of sounds like there needs to be more education about the realities and making that distinction between reality and pornography in a way.
Yeah, that's right. And how does one do that? You know, say, you know, a young woman like Saxon goes out for a night out. She's innocent, quite completely sexually innocent, with no previous experience. How does she know what person she's going to meet, and how does she know what kind of content he has viewed and what his expectations are? You see, I think there's a huge gap between what perhaps young women's expectations are around sex and romance and love and what young men's expectations are. I think there's a lot of work for men and boys to do, actually. A lot of this, well, the responsibility for this sort of stuff is typically placed on women, but I think it's time for men to start taking responsibility for their sexual expectations.